The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. What exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news. Join my cabinet, Gorka's cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, sebgorka.com. Click on the Gorka's cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's cabinet at sebgorka.com.
Making sense out of today's nonsense, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Thank you, Shad. He gave me the over to you signal. The first person to tell me which Bond movie that theme comes from gets all three of my books signed and dedicated to them, but you've got to go to my website, sebgorka.com. Crank it up! Love that throated trumpet. Sorry, YouTube. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. Send me a message there. Which Bond movie this soundtrack came from? It's one of the best, really. It's instrumental, but it's just epic. And you'll get all three of my books signed. Wow, how does music change your mood like that? Powerful, powerful stuff. Wow, love it, love it, love it. And it's not even Friday. But it feels like Friday when you play that music. We are back with our penultimate guest for America First today. What do they say? Is it the top end, the bottom end? I don't even know that garbage. For the second half of this last hour, Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch. But now we go to the conservative mothership where it all began. The people who are keeping us safe, fighting for the principles of our republic. Of course, it's the Heritage Foundation. And we are joined, it's been far too long, by Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Hans, welcome back to America First.
Sebastian, thanks for having me back.
You need to follow this man. He is H. von Spakovsky, S-P-A-K-O-V-S-K-Y. I'm so excited I'm actually pronouncing his name properly, I think. It's not easy, not easy. Hans, we have incredible back and forth. We have a tug of war on Capitol Hill. Pork the likes of which we've never seen before. $4 billion for New York museums, more money for NPR, solar panel write-offs, carbon emission offsets, carbon neutral Boeing planes by 2025. Sheer insanity when we're trying to save small and medium-sized businesses first and get people back to work. But perhaps most dangerous of all are the things that fall into your wheelhouse hands. These election measures that they're trying to push into this bill, can you talk to us about how dangerous these measures from the Democrats could be to our republic?
Yeah, the Pelosi bill took all these provisions that they've tried to put into other bills and put them into her coronavirus bill. And they're all intended to override state laws and make it easier to cheat and easier to manipulate elections. And to give you a couple of quick examples, her provision in her bill would make vote harvesting legal in all states. In other words, any state that bans candidates, political consultants, party activists, and others like that from collecting and picking up absentee ballots, that state law would go out the window, which is, of course, a foolish idea to put something as valuable as a ballot in the hands of folks who have a stake in the outcome of the election.
So I need to reiterate this because this is incredibly dangerous.
Yes, it is.
Ballot harvesting came in 2016 in California, and it's the right. It's the idea that anybody, not an officer, not an official, anybody unverified can just deliver sacks of votes to a polling station or a voting point, and you can basically steal elections. Now, firstly, on the face of it, it seems just outrageously open to all kinds of abuse. And secondly, Hans, when did we become a unitary nation with no states? And when did the federal government get to decide on how ballots are run in all 50 states?
Well, in fact, they don't. We have the most, as you know, the most decentralized
yes.
election system of any Western democracy. That's intentional. The framers of the Constitution did not think it would be a good idea for the central federal government to be running elections, because obviously that would mean incumbents in Congress and potentially the White House could possibly manipulate the rules so they can stay in office. But look, that's just one of the examples. I'll give you another one that is just, again, just a foolish idea. Look, in every state, you can, of course, vote by absentee ballot, particularly if you're sick or disabled, can't make it to the polls. But in every state, they don't start counting those absentee ballots until the end of Election Day. At the same time, they're counting all the other ballots people have voted in person. And the reason for that is, obviously, you don't want to start counting votes prior to the end of Election Day, because that information is leaked out. One, if it's leaked to the public, you may deter people from voting who haven't yet voted when they hear that their particular candidate may be behind.
Right, you're shaping electoral preferences.
Yes, and if it's leaked to candidates and it turns out they're behind, they may be able to change their tactics and strategy to win. Well, this federal bill of Pelosi's would require states to start processing and counting absentee ballots and votes cast early 2 weeks before Election Day.
Now, you have been on the forefront of immigration reform issues at Heritage, issues to do with elections. You're a former FEC commissioner, DOJ lawyer. Have you seen anything of this magnitude when it comes to threatening the integrity of our elections packed into a potential bill, Hans?
No, this is one of the worst I've ever seen. And there are, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. There are so many provisions in here that are bad. I mean, again, Sebastian, what have we been talking about? What have Democrats been talking about for the last 3 years? They've been talking about cybersecurity, right, and potential cyber attacks on our whole election system. Well, they abandoned that because this bill would require all states to allow online voter registration, telephone voter registration, and online requests for absentee ballots over the Internet. So, look, the Internet is filled with fraud, and yet this would force states to allow this kind of thing to happen over the Internet, where they have no way of verifying the credibility or authenticity of people registering to vote or requesting absentee ballots.
Now, I know, I have certain reasons why I know this, that you and your colleagues, the president of the Heritage Foundation, K. Coles James, you guys are working so hard right now. D.C. may be empty, but you guys are coming together multiple times a day for video conferences. You guys are working hard to make sure that pork is pulled out of the bills on Capitol Hill, if at all possible. What are your recommendations to our listeners? We're across the nation, millions of listeners, hundreds of stations, YouTube, Facebook, you name it. What is Hans von Spakovsky's recommendation for the average citizen? Is there anything we can do?
Well, fortunately, all of these provisions got pulled out of the Senate version of this bill that was just approved. But as you know, that Senate version just got sent over to the House of Representatives. And, you know, it's certainly possible that Nancy Pelosi could try to reinsert these provisions into the Senate bill. And I, you know, if it was me, I'd be calling my member of the House of Representatives who represents me and perhaps others in my state and say, you do not need to be putting extraneous provisions into this bill, which is supposed to deal with this pandemic we're on. And in particular, you shouldn't have the federal government overriding our state's rules on elections.
Shocking stuff. Shocking stuff. Please follow this man, H. Von Spakovsky, on Twitter, S-P-A-K-O-V-S-K-Y, and also become a member today of the Heritage Foundation. For decades, they've been fighting for all of us based upon the founding principles of the Republic. Go to heritage.org and find out all the useful things. They even have an amazing service right now. Let me give you the information. I've mentioned it once before, but our good friend Kathy texted it to me. If you are desperate now for materials, if you're homeschooling because you have to, Heritage Foundation have a resource for you. It's called heritage.org, Curricular Resource Initiative. Look that up, Curricular Resource Initiative. And it's conservative materials. It's real materials to use for your children who are stuck at home right now because of the coronavirus. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We're going to be taking your calls next here on America First, 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. And don't forget, our new voicemail line, 703-585-3668.
Portions of America First are sponsored by Moral Compass LLC's No Safe Spaces movie. Portions of America First are brought to you by Job Creators Network.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Shad. Hall & Oates. Never enough Hall & Oates. Yeah, that's not... What do you mean, more popular than I thought it would be? Maneater is the most famous song they have. I thought there's no way Shad's going to go with Maneater. I thought you were going to surprise me.
Well, hey, you know, sometimes a girl breaks your heart in high school. And something just sits with you, you know?
Maneater, my dad made me a record. He didn't make me the turntable. He made the amp. A vacuum tube amp. And I had one of those turntables that took 45s that you could load and they could reload. And I used to play like Survivor, Eye of the Tiger, Maneater. It would just play for hours on repeat, on repeat. I wore a hole in my Maneater single. Although you don't even know what singles are, do you? Well, they're coming back, aren't they? Vinyl's coming back, Shad?
Yeah, it is. I have a turntable myself.
Of course you do. He's that cool. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and he's our new engineer. This is America First. If you're going crazy, you want something to watch, watch the incredible new film from my friend Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. It's called No Safe Spaces. It's got a 99% audience fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And of course, because it's about political correctness and the threat of political correctness, Netflix and Amazon, they don't want you to see it. They're not carrying it. But you can watch it right now at nosafespaces.com. Go to nosafespaces.com. I've seen it. It's superb. And it is real entertainment that will edify you as well as be enjoyable. I have to share with you two cuts. First, a short one. This is a video cut. It was from yesterday's coronavirus response team briefing when a journalist asked a dumb question of Dr. Anthony Fauci. And we saw a new face of Dr. Fauci. It was a very short riposte, a very, very... not witty, but to the point riposte. Eric, do you have our video ready of Dr. Fauci at the podium? 20-second shortcut, but it's a new side of Dr. Fauci. Play video.
World Health Organization praising China for its transparency and leadership on their response to the pandemic?
You know, I can't comment on that because, I mean, that I don't have any viewpoint into it. I mean, I don't even know what your question is.
And then he walks away. Welcome
to the game.
He walks away from the podium. The president says, he comes back to the podium, looks at Anthony Fauci and says, welcome to the group. Welcome to my world. This is the world I live in of stupid, dumb questions from journalists. And Fauci dealt with it rather majestically. Why are you making propaganda points of the Chinese Communist government and then trying to get me to validate them? You're not a journalist. You're a punk. I think I've used that phrase before. And then from today, my former colleague, my gosh, he's one of the survivors. He's Peter Navarro. He is the president's economic and trade advisor. And he was on CNN. And man, did it get spicy. This is the real Peter. I mean, he's a great economic mind. He knew the threat from China from the get-go. He helped educate me as a counterterrorism national security guy. And this was just a couple of hours ago with somebody called Brianna Kailar of CNN, when she started to get all harangy about the government and ventilators, and Peter Navarro responded as only Peter can. Cut to.
We're working as fast as we can. I look, if you think that speaking in facts and truth is frightening to people, you have a problem.
Why do you keep shouting in my ear? I don't understand. I'm trying to give you some numbers and answer your questions.
Okay, please.
Here, watch. Watch me answer the question. We got 43,000 ventilators at least that are come from Philips. We're working with GM and Ventec, and they may be able to produce as many as 80,000 by the end of the year. Ford and GE are partnering together, and there's eight other companies on our spreadsheets where we're looking to get them to up their production or take whatever inventory they got. We are working really hard on this, and we are surging capacity to places they need it. And I think what's important for CNN here is to report this in a sober way without frightening America and just having reasonable conversations when somebody from the White House comes on instead of just shouting in our ear.
Reasonable conversations with CNN. Peter, don't waste your time. And then one last cut back to Dr. Fauci. He used an interesting phrase in yesterday's briefing. He used the word importations, not in the way that we would use it. When you say importation, you think of goods, don't you, being imported to a country. He's talking about human beings who are carrying the virus. And he gave an interview with Fredo, the man who will be forever known as Fredo Cuomo on CNN, about the president's actions and how crucial they were. The media is trying to split the president away from his medical team to drive a wedge between them, but it's not happening. Sorry, Fredo. This is Dr. Fauci on CNN, Cut 3.
Italy got hit really badly, almost certainly, and I think this gets to your question about us here in the United States, is Italy got hit very badly because they had a large number of importations from China by Chinese tourists. And before they even knew what was going on, there was enough baseline people spreading that it essentially got out of hand. And it became difficult for them, as good as they are, and they're very good, to be able to contain it.
Importations of the virus by people coming from China. And that's why they are in the state they are in right now. Outside of New York, the epicenter is, of course, Italy. Now, why are we in a state we're in right now? Why are we less infected, less threatened than Italy or Iran? Because Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, back in January, was labeled a racist for doing what? For stopping travel from exactly those areas that imported the Corona Wuhan virus to places like northern Italy. We must thank our lucky stars. Tonight, when you're saying a prayer, being grateful for all the things that you've been blessed with in your life, one of the things you could add is the fact that a non-politician, a problem solver, a man who fixes problems, doesn't exacerbate them, is our commander-in-chief. He saw the threat, and as in that article I read to you from Victor Davis Hanson at the top of our show, he understood the threat, understood our resources, understood our vulnerabilities, and he took action. Very, very different. Imagine if it had been Hillary Clinton in the Oval Office. Imagine if it were Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders. And that's why right now the president has record-breaking levels of popular support. 60% support for his response to the coronavirus, which in political terms is stunning. And we need to continue to support him by following his guidelines. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. We will be back with none other than Judicial Watch's Tom Fitton. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. Welcome back, dear friends across the nation. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Now more than ever, we need to support those companies that make these shows possible. If you're a friend of America First, you heard what Mike Lindell did today, how he's making protective gear to help protect our health workers and get us back on our feet. Let's support him. Go to MyPillow.com. Use our discount code for 60% off all of his products. When you support the great Mike Lindell, you're supporting shows like America First. Go call them on 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. And for that massive discount, 60% off, use promo code G-O-R-K-A. We are back with our last guest of the day, none other than Mr. Tom Fitton. He is the president. He's the big boss at one of the most important institutions in America that's fighting the deep state and fighting corruption on Capitol Hill and everywhere across our nation. And, of course, that is Judicial Watch. Support them at judicialwatch.org and follow Tom at Tom Fitton on Twitter. Tom, welcome back to America First.
Seth, good to be with you again. Hope you're feeling healthy.
I'm feeling fine, on top of the world, and we are in studio with our indomitable team because we are not snowflakes. Tom, we need a latest update. When you were last in studio, when we had Chris here, Chris Farrell, your chief investigator, incredible news coming out of Judicial Watch with regards to the organization, you guys, that first broke the story of Hillary Clinton's illegal email server that she skated on, that Jim Comey gave her a pass at, despite the felonious copying of classified information. You have been fighting this fight. What's the latest developments with regards to finding out more with regards to Hillary Clinton's illegal, unsecured email server?
Well, federal court judge Royce Lamberth, evidently done with DOJ state Clinton games on the emails, ordered Mrs. Clinton's deposition to Judicial Watch, and he ordered it to take place by May 16th. Mrs. Clinton, in an extraordinary court filing, appealed it through what's called a mandamus petition and says that she has an indisputable right not to testify to Judicial Watch about her emails. So she's asking for emergency intervention by the appellate court to stop the court from ordering her testimony. So that should be litigated.
So this quasi appeal not to have to testify in front of you or to give a deposition, is there some excuse? Does she say why she gets to ignore this court decision?
She says she's too important a government official, and this issue has been talked about too much as it is, and she shouldn't have to testify.
Wow. So what's happened now? What recourse do you have?
Well, we have to respond. It's a challenge not only to Judicial Watch, but to the federal court judge who wants her to answer questions. It's the judge that has questions, and we're going to be asking and try to get discovery so the judge can figure out what to do. And so the appellate courts moved quickly and ordered us to respond by the end of the month, and her response is due by April 10th. So we should get a resolution soon.
And what is your gut sense? Is the judge going to say there's no special exemption for people just because their last name is Clinton? Are you confident, Tom Fitton?
If we're any other litigant, it'd be a slam dunk. Right. But Hillary Clinton, you don't know.
And if it happens, I don't want to give away your policy or strategy, but tell us at least in the last minute we have with you in this segment, Tom Fitton, what are the key things that need to be asked of Hillary Clinton when it comes to her infamous, illegal, unsecured server?
Why was she using it? Was she using it to avoid the Freedom of Information Act? What did she think was going on at the State Department when everyone was asking for her documents and her emails weren't being given to them? Who told her what and when?
These are the questions that need to be answered after, what is it, how many years, 6 years, Tom, is that right?
It's still going on. We're still getting emails, Seb, believe it or not. They just turned over new Clinton emails to us. The FBI, quote, found them. Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Benghazi classified information material about talking with Barack Obama.
Yeah, they're good at not finding things for a long time and then losing in things, especially when it comes to that great American patriot, my former colleague and my friend General Mike Flynn. Funny how that works. We're talking to Tom Fitton. He is the man in charge of an incredible organization. You know what it is. It's Judicial Watch. Check them out. Support them. Go to judicialwatch.org and follow Tom right now on Twitter at Tom Fitton, F-I-T-T-O-N. Back with Tom to talk about the coronavirus and the D.C. response in a moment. We are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works. Pain relief, excuse me, that is natural. And pain relief that, most important of all, doesn't hide your pain like regular painkillers. Doesn't mask the sense of the pain receptors, but attacks the source of the pain, which is the inflammation. And that's why so many people across the nation, tens of thousands of Americans, are getting remarkable results with this solution for their daily pain. Find out if it can work for you as well as it works for them and me by going to ReliefFactor.com and ordering your 3-week quick starter pack right now. And I guarantee you, if you take Relief Factor morning and evening, as do I, by the end of the 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me. And you will know whether it can liberate you from your daily pain. Understand why my fellow Salem faculty colleagues are so excited and so wholeheartedly endorse Relief Factor, including my friends Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, and Larry Elder. And then see the incredible video testimonials at ReliefFactor.com. You deserve to be the next success story. Order your quick starter pack right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
How are you doing with that cabin fever? Are you stressing out? Are you going stir crazy? Have you exhausted everything you can watch on your streaming services? Well, guess what? I've got an answer for you. My buddy Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla have made available their incredibly successful documentary movie, No Safe Spaces, the number one political documentary of 2019 with a 99% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It is the story of how the left has taken over the media and academia and what it's going to take to push them out of the area we let them take over. Of course, Netflix Amazon Prime and the rest don't want you to see it, but you can access it. You can download it right now. Go to nosafespaces.com. It's Dennis, it's Adam with some amazing special guests, including Jordan Peterson, Ben Shapiro, and Tim Allen, and many, many more. Go right now to nosafespaces.com. We are back with our special guest, Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch. He specializes in fighting all things swampish, in shining a bright light on corruption in Capitol Hill and elsewhere. But also, you've been it's all connected, really. But, Tom, you've been rather outspoken of late with regards to the federal response to the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus. I'm not a big fan of sloshing our tax money around as if there's no tomorrow and we're a bunch of drunken sailors. It looks like the Democrats have delayed yet again the signing of that bill. It is now 4 days late. What's your latest read, Tom, on the response with our taxpayer money to this threat?
It's $2.2 trillion. I don't think it will help in the long run. It may help put some cash into some people. When you spend that type of money, someone's going to be helped. But the real help needs to be reopening the country back up for business. And we've had governors and local officials shut down our country based on what? I don't know. There's this experiment going on about how to contain this serious illness. And it is serious. I don't want to diminish. I don't want anyone to get sick. I don't want anyone to get sick. I don't want anyone to die. But I also don't want to destroy the country. And what's happening now is our economy is being destroyed. What's the new numbers? 3.28 million unemployed.
Yes.
We're on the edge of a depression because of this shutdown, and it's got to stop. That has health consequences every bit as dire, and damaging to our country as what's happening now with the coronavirus. We're beating the coronavirus in large measure throughout the land. There are places where there's a challenge, and we should deploy the appropriate resources to help those places. But the idea that none of us are supposed to go to work, that all of our schools are closed, I don't know what the science is behind that. I keep on hearing that we need to have clinical trials for these new drugs or drugs that have been out for 100 years plus to figure out whether they work. Where's the clinical trials? Where's the science behind shutting down a country of 330 million people? Where's that been? Where's that experiment taken place before? Where's the control for that?
That's a fabulous question. There is no control. There is no experiment. We've never done this before. But clearly, there are psychological, there are health ramifications for basically shutting down America in response to a virus that has taken 1,000 lives so far. Tom, you mentioned something. You mentioned local authorities. You mentioned state authorities. I find it, we mentioned this on the show yesterday, and I'd love to get your take on this. The idea that ostensibly for political purposes of personal animus, a governor, the governor of Nevada, who's not a medical professional, can ban the use of an established, tested treatment, a drug, for use off-label for a new purpose against this coronavirus, Wuhan virus threat. Has anything like that happened before? When a governor just outlaws something that was perfectly fine for use in healing our fellow Americans?
No, there's certainly nothing of recent precedent like that. And you aptly describe the issue. He's not reacting to any science. He's not reacting to the evidence that's being gathered every day that this drug is working. And the doctors have a right to prescribe medicine for off-label use. So if someone comes in, they're sick, there's good evidence that a particular drug will help them. Doctors in their discretion and consultation with their patients can prescribe this type of medication or would ordinarily be able to. So this is kind of a deranged response by someone who hates Trump more than he loves the public health, the health of his citizenry.
Yes, indeed. In the last 2 minutes we have with Tom Fitton, follow him on Twitter at Tom Fitton, and please check out and support Judicial Watch at judicialwatch.org. You've been fighting corruption for decades now and doing an incredible job with you and your team. Isn't there, if you look at the aid package, it's not $2 trillion. If you add everything else, all the additional measures, measured by the Fed, it is upwards of $6 trillion we're talking about. When government looses that much of our money, taxpayer money, isn't that just going to make the swamp even more corrupt than it was in the past, Tom?
Yes, because you're going to have every dollar spent, especially when you're doling it out to corporations who live or die based on their ability to basically avoid government regulation or deal with it. That's where you get this sort of imbalance of power that just worsens the relationship between the government and the private sector. And so the airline companies will, the question is, will they be effectively be taken over by the federal government for a period of time as a result of this help? I don't know. You know, this is an unprecedented intervention in the private economy by the federal government, and it didn't have to happen, but for the overreaction of panicked local and government officials to the coronavirus. The federal government never told anyone to shut down the economy. The Trump administration's advice was, if you're home, stay sick. If you're going to work, go if you need to go in. But, you know, stay away from people. Wash your hands. Do sensible steps. If you need to close the schools, do it in severe circumstances. Otherwise, keep them open. There was no directive from the federal government to shut anyone down. This is all state police power being exercised, sometimes appropriately, largely inappropriately.
Yeah, largely.
Our capital, Seb, is being shut down right now for no good reason.
The parks have been shut down in Virginia. The sheer insanity. We have one really bad hot zone in New York. We have another one in Washington State. And then what? The rest of the country has to be on lockdown? It's not American. It's not common sense. Thank you so much for joining us today. Keep doing what you do and support this man, Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. I know you have a choice, my friends. If you suffer from daily pain, you can take regular painkillers. You can get prescription painkillers. You can try those smelly, noxious salves and ointments. How about a fourth, better option? It's called Relief Factor. It rid me 16 months ago of my lower back pain issue. I'm pain-free since then. And then when I had my recent knee surgery, it's been a month since I had my knee surgery, I got off those bad, bad painkillers as soon as I could and replaced them with a Relief Factor. See if it's as good for you as it is for me by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack, ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. You deserve to be the next success story.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
Tom Fitton is so right. The federal government didn't tell you to shut down America. The states, certain governors have overdone it. And in fact, most of America is not a hot spot like Cuomo's New York or Seattle in Washington State. And it's affecting so many of you, especially small business owners. If you're a small business owner, you probably don't even realize how much you mean to America. The facts are very simple. We have more than 30 million small businesses in America. They provide almost half of the jobs in our republic, employing nearly 60 million Americans. That's incredible. Now, we have friends at the Job Creators Network who have fought for you before, and they want to help you now. So, our friends at the Job Creator Network want to hear from you about how the government shutdowns, the governor's decisions have impacted you and your business. If you own a small business, or if you work for a small business, please go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com today. That's jobcreatorsnetwork.com. Share your stories of what's happening to you right now. Let them know. Let the Job Creators Network know how they can best advocate for you. Go now to jobcreatorsnetwork.com because you heard the figures. Small businesses are too important to fail. That phrase, too big to fail, it applies to you as well. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This has been America First, as always, in the last 4 days. Incredible. Last 4 days of the 15 days to break the back of the COVID Chinese coronavirus. We have to stick to the guidelines the president gave us. Common sense, social distancing, hygiene, personal hygiene, and then also cleaning the frequently used surfaces around you, especially taking care not to endanger those of an older generation and those with pre-existing conditions. We need for the next 4 days to make sure that we have broken that curve of the coronavirus. It's up to us. The president has laid out his objective. He wants us back to work by the time of the Easter resurrection. We can do it if we stick together in following his guidelines, because there is right now nothing more important than getting America back on its feet. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you missed anything, don't forget to go to our YouTube channel, subscribe, hit the little notifications bell twice to make sure that it tells you whenever we posted a new segment. Go to our website, check out our latest articles at sebgorka.com. And remember, as always, the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Watch your six, keep your head on a swivel, never give up, stay frosty.